Welcome everybody to the Human Design Podcast with your host, me, Emma Dunwoody. Right here with me on this podcast, you're going to learn everything you need to know to live your fullest potential. We're going to talk about mindset, we're going to talk about profiling, we're going to talk a lot about human behavior. We're also going to look at the beautiful tool that I use called Human Design. Most of all, we're going to talk about how you can absolutely live up to your fullest potential. If you enjoy the podcast, please give me a rating. 5 stars would be nice. Share this podcast with someone that you believe would benefit from it, or even better still, write me a review. And in return, send me a DM and I'll give you a free 30-minute coaching session. Enjoy the podcast. So welcome everybody to this podcast. Today I have got someone really inspirational to share her story with you. Becky is one of my clients and someone who I really believe is an important role model and leader in our environment today, because she very much has walked shoulder to shoulder with so many people and had a real experience of life that she really felt like she should have. And her beautiful awakening, her journey, and really her connecting to her power is what I really wanted to come here today and have a chat to you guys about. So welcome, Becky.
Thank you. I don't think I've ever been called inspirational before, so I will wear that badge with pride from now on.
Brilliant. I love it. I might even make you one and send it to you so you can wear it around the kids. Don't mess with me, kids. So Becky, tell me a little bit about where you're at, what life was like for you before you first came to see me.
Okay, long story. I basically had arrived at a point in my life where nothing felt right. Like literally, I couldn't point at a single element of the universe that I'd created around myself that felt comfortable to me anymore. I've been self-employed for a number of years. That was no longer filling my cup. My relationship with my husband was at an all-time low. I was struggling with, even with my own children, just feeling like I was not doing very well in any aspect of my life. Friendships were fractured, and just generally I was the most unhappy I've ever been in my life, and quite desperate really, which ultimately led to the morning that I emailed you at 5:30 for help. Because, you know, I am someone who will ask for help and had explored other avenues and had, you know, I'm very open about the fact that I've been seeing a psychologist for a long, long time, and had, you know, got a lot of value out of that as well, but just didn't see a very clear path forwards. And I'd really get to the point where I needed a direction and I needed help to find the starting point. And that's where you came in.
Yay, lucky me. Awesome. And yeah, the thing that I love about that story is I think there's so many people out there that really resonate with that. So I know that we had, like, your first session was amazing and mind-blowing. So can you tell me a little bit about, I suppose, your first impressions and how using not only coaching but the human design, I know that it's probably not two different things to you, but how the coaching with me was different and impacted you compared to what you'd been using and supported by in the past?
Yeah, okay. That's such a good question, because it was so different. And, you know, this is something that I've been so keen to share with so many people, because it was very key to how I started turning everything around again. The main difference being that with traditional psychological help, you are addressing issues in the past, so it's retrospective. Like, you are very much put back in time a lot of the time. A lot of the processes that, you know, a psychologist will go through with you literally transport you back, and you, and the danger there is that you get stuck with the old patterns of behavior, the old feelings. Obviously the aim of the game is to break the cycle of behavior, but it works on the basis that you have to revisit old episodes from your past in order to almost rewire your brain about your thinking about that, which, look, you know, not to bag it out, because that also had fantastic responses for me, and I'm very grateful that I did that as well. But the difference with working with you was that for the first time in a long time, you forced me to think about the future, and not just, you know, go and get a planner from Kiki K and start writing down your dreams and aspirations. It was very much a, you know, okay, no messing around now. Like, what is it that you want? Don't tell me you don't know, because you do know, and we're going to sit here until you come up with three things. And it was quite, like, you know, it's very confrontational for someone whose habits of a lifetime have been to say, you know, to sit back and quietly wait for opportunities to arise, to actually be forced to take control over that. So yeah, the thinking, the thought process behind it is very different, as is, you know, it's a much more direct route to finding a resolution than traditional psychology, I suppose. Yeah, it's not for the faint-hearted.
I love that.
Out there, like, you know, you'll remember I did spend most of our first session crying and saying, I just don't know. But also, you know, by the end of our very first session, I left literally feeling like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders, because I knew what my next task was. So instead of being under my duvet, frantically doing Google searches for, you know, for what I should do, or what, you know, what could help me, you know, in the space of like an hour and a half, 2 hours, I came away and I not only knew what I wanted, but I knew the steps that I needed to take to get there. And that to me was an absolute lifesaver.
Yeah, brilliant. I love, love, love that. And tell me how specifically, because one of the things that obviously you learned in that first session was actually about your own internal guidance system. And I love that you're right. You were like, I don't know. But I was like, yes, you do know. So let's connect you to that gut of yours that tells you, it gives you the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Tell me how learning that you're in human design, we call it our authority and our strategy. So when you learned those things about how to make decisions for yourself, what shifted in you?
Do you know, it was a very strange experience, because I already felt that it was true. So the things that you told me, I didn't need convincing about them, because it just felt so correct. And I suppose it's far easier to act on something when you have that instant connection to it, like I did. And so for me, you know, I won't say that the transition was easy, because to this day, like, I still struggle between, you know, heart and mind. Like, you know, I'm very much a deep thinker, and I'm very, very well trained to think about what I should do or what the right answer is. You know, and with my background as a solicitor as well, like, that's extremely difficult to get out of the habit of a lifetime of, you know, that kind of constant, you know, negotiation with myself, almost like, you know, how many angles can I view this issue from before I make a decision? And the thing that I was taught instantly was, you know, your head has got no part to play in any of your key decision making. This is all to do with your intuition, which for me, it was like, oh my God, what a relief. Finally, I'm allowed to do that. Like, it's something that I've always known. I've always known that, you know, my gut reaction is always spot on, to the point of being annoyed with myself when I would ignore it and then be proven, you know, proven right. And so it was, yeah, it was absolute authority to follow what felt right. And when I say what felt right, it is a very physical like response to, you know, to questions. And I absolutely love that. Like, I employ that constantly in life. Now, I don't always follow as quickly as I should, because like I said, I'm still trying to kind of, you know, backpedal and, you know, unhook a few of the things that have kind of stuck over the years. But at least now I know what my prompts are. And if I'm still not sure, then I know what my network, what my system is to kind of, you know, evaluate from the direction that I should be rather than what I always have done.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I love what you said about how you just knew it was true. Like, you just, it just felt true. And this is something that I find with human design everywhere. The deeper we go into people's unique design, it's like you're giving me permission just to be me. Like, it's this feeling of truth. It's not like a massive surprise. It's just like, oh, my God, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and I think that that's really liberating as a woman and as a mother, you know, when we spend so much of our lives looking after other people and doing the things that we feel that we should do because it's expected of us. You know, to arrive at my age, you know, late 30s, and finally be told, actually, do you know what, this is your life and you're important too, and actually your happiness has a knock-on effect for all of those people. So never feel guilty about following your gut feelings about things for fear of how it might impact other people, because actually you'll be surprised at how positive that can be for everybody once everybody starts being more true to themselves. And that's, you know, one of the most honest things I've ever come across, really.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so powerful. The truth in what you just said is like fantastic. And if there wasn't so much awesomeness left in your story, I'd be like, we have to stop it on that. That's the most powerful thing. But what I do, I want to keep going because there's so much more. And I'd love you to share some of the things that, you know, Becky before was the mum, the entrepreneur, the wife, the has the big home and the kids at private school, and the should Becky. So after this first session, it started this domino effect, didn't it? So can you share with the listeners a little bit about the adventures and the changes that actually happened in once the internal changes started to happen, how the external changes and those adventures?
Okay. Where do I start? I basically turned everything around. I just called time on my life. I knew that I needed to give myself not only time but space to really contemplate what was going on and how I'd got myself into such a mess in the first place, but how, you know, who I wanted to come out at the other side. So literally, I think, was it 5 days, Emma? I can't remember.
I think so. Certainly wasn't a full week.
It wasn't a full week by any means. I had gone to, basically my first stop was to Flight Centre to sit in front of a giant map on the wall and decide where in the world I needed to go to fix myself. It sounds very dramatic. It actually wasn't. It was so calm and soothing to give myself permission to go back to, you know, go back inwards onto myself, like, you know, have space to think, what do I like doing? Like, gosh, that is a question that I haven't asked myself since I left school, is, you know, who am I? What do I want to do? What do I like? I didn't even know what I liked. You know, I literally would have to sit for 10 minutes and think about how I like to, you know, if I have any hobbies or how I like to spend my time. And so, you know, for me, it was, you know, I instantly knew I needed to leave Sydney for a little while. There was such a lot going on with all of my relationships here. And I just wanted me. I just wanted to, you know, really reconnect with myself again. So the first stop was Japan. So I headed off to Japan and I did a tour. It was called the Land of the Rising Sun Tour. And I mean, if that doesn't speak to somebody who really needs to transform their life, I don't know what will. So yeah, so I decided that I was going to take a trip by myself. It was something that really had never, ever entered my mind ever in my life that I would want to travel on my own. it was something that, you know, friends of mine had done when they were younger. And it just, yeah, just never interested me. But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, it was something that I absolutely, it was fundamental that I get out into the world by myself without anybody holding my hand, nobody to, you know, speak for me or over me, you know, to be able to go where I wanted to go on my own, you know, time frames that suited me. And yeah, it just became top of the list. So I booked my trip. I bought my guidebook, I photographed my guidebook and stuck it on Instagram with an announcement to the world that, you know, I wasn't having a mental breakdown, but that I was going on this, you know, on this trip of a lifetime that I was super excited about. And what really shocked me actually about that was the number of responses that I got from people all around the world. People, you know, some people who I haven't had any contact with since I left school at 18, you know, some shock horror, like, oh my God, what do you mean? What's happening? What's going on? And others, predominantly, the response was, that is so cool. I wish I was as brave as you. Yeah. And it really spurred me on. Like, it made me think, do you know what? Like, I was quite, you know, I wouldn't use the word scared. I was a little bit apprehensive. But that just kind of dissolved away because I felt like I needed to do it to make a point, to really show not just myself, but like everybody else who was watching, that this was something achievable and definitely something that we are all worthy of doing. Because honestly, like 6 months ago, I would never, ever have given myself permission to take off, you know, 3 weeks I was away. So 3 weeks away from the children, you know, the money that I spent, you know, which previously I just would never have allowed and have given myself authority to spend that amount of money on myself, never mind for, you know, some harebrained scheme that I needed to go and find myself, you know, the mountains of Japan. And actually it was the absolute best spend of my time and my money that I could have made at that point in my life. You know, don't take my word for it. Literally every single person who came into contact with me around that time absolutely agreed. My husband, when he would speak to me on FaceTime, literally he would say, you look different. You know, he was going, my gosh, you look 10 years younger. You look happy. I was like, thanks. Unhappy, but you know, it really was like I felt like I was glowing the whole time I was away. Like it changed me from the first, you know, the first moments of my time in Tokyo. I had a moment when I'd taken myself out for dinner on the first night, you know, and I'd made myself a promise that I wouldn't settle for a Macca's or a KFC or something that was easy to access, that I really did want to throw myself in at the deep end and find myself a Japanese restaurant, you know, with a vending machine ordering system and noodles, and that I was going to do, you know, the whole nine yards really. And yeah, I did it. And I, you know, I didn't accidentally cut into a queue and get told off in Japanese to get back to the end of the queue, and that was quite humiliating. but I did it. Like, you know, I've never, like, all my successes in life, of which, you know, there've been many, I've done a lot of things that I'm proud of, I've never been more proud of myself than the night that I ordered myself a beer and noodle soup in Tokyo by myself. Like, that to me was like top of the list for life's achievement. Like, I've done this amazing thing that I would have been terrified to do even 6 weeks earlier, and I did it. And as I was walking back to my hotel that night, I was became very aware of the fact that I was grinning like a Cheshire cat all on my own, just, you know, walking in semi-darkness down the street in Tokyo that I'd never walked along. And I literally felt my face hurting because I had just spent so long just with a permanent smile on my face. And it was almost like I didn't recognize that. You know, it was so completely alien to me to feel so uplifted and free. And, you know, and I was proud. Like, I know it sounds like a really silly thing to be proud of, but I was so proud of myself. I think I even said to my dad, telling him, I've just had a beer in Tokyo by myself, because I was so, you know, it was just such a momentous point of the whole process until that.
Absolutely. Point. And I think that I love this, because I feel like it was such a catalyst for you to really make some massive decisions, you know, like maybe you could share what happened or the choices that you made when it came to the business.
I'd obviously gone on this tour, which would bring me into contact with a lot of people from all around the world. So I did part of the trip I did by myself, which was very important, and as it turned out, the best part of the trip for me. But I'd also joined a scheduled tour group as well, which, you know, like the demographic was massive. You know, it was between, you know, young boys traveling by themselves through to, you know, special needs families and, you know, more elderly couples. And, you know, I didn't give it a second thought. I just thought, you know, everyone's there for their own different reasons. And for me, it was a security issue. And because I wanted to travel so widely across Japan, it seemed like the most common sense approach to the trip. And obviously, you know, for me as well, it meant access to a lot of different minds, a lot of different viewpoints, and a lot of conversations that I would never have encountered if I'd stayed in my home in French's Forest speaking to my friends. So, you know, it gave me, again, like the green light to really ask some quite profound questions, like, you know, to be able to meet somebody fresh and new and, you know, within 2 weeks, say, you know, be able to ask very, you know, very succinct questions like, so, you know, what do you think, you know, what do you think about me? Like, where do you think that I should be looking? Like, what career paths do you think would suit a personality type like mine? What did you think when you first met me? Because, you know, these were all things that I just didn't know. Like, I'd started to build a picture in my head about who I was, and it wasn't a very positive or pleasant picture, I have to say. Like, I was really down on myself and really, you know, feeling like the odd one out and, like, you know, just a little bit, you know, of a rogue. Like, I didn't really fit anybody's mold very well. And so to be able to ask those kind of questions, I mean, I'm not sure what my traveling companions thought about those questions, but they were kind and polite enough to answer, and, you know, quite frankly, on a lot of occasions. And so I was able to kind of get a lot of data about myself and things that I really needed to own. Like, you know, one of the boys said to me, I've never met anybody like you. Like, I've never met anyone who could organize a whole table within 5 minutes flat and have us all on Facebook that quickly. And, you know, and at first, like, my first reaction to that was, oh, he thinks I'm bossy and that's negative and I should try and, you know, back off a little bit. And then I was like, no, actually. And he said to me, he obviously saw this kind of thought process going through my mind. He said, no, that's a good thing. There's not very many people who can do that. Like, you need to be, like, you need to step into that. And so I was like, yeah, actually, I do. Like, I can't carry on for the second half of my life pretending like I'm something that I'm not. I need to really just see what I am and own it. Whether I think that that's what other people like or not, I just really need to own that. And so I very much came home loaded with a lot more information than I had before I left. I mean, you know, as much as your friends and family love you, it can be hard for people to kind of hold a mirror you sometimes, especially if you might be a little bit upset by what they might have to say. But, you know, in my case, this was a lot, you know, a group of strangers who I would never see again. And so there was, you know, there was the ability to be quite frank with each other. And like, it gave me a lot of opportunities to kind of test the waters a little bit. You know,
Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, you know, obviously one of the things that I came home feeling was, I'm not done. Like, I'm not done. My travels can't end here. Like, I came back with, you know, itchy feet still.
Yeah.
And
Continue. And I think exactly. And there's sort of more to that part of the story too. But I think the other thing that I'd love you to touch on, I know when we first, I think it was either the first or the second time, the second session, where it was almost like you said to me about the business, like, well, this is my business and I'm almost like, I should love it. This is what I should be doing. I'm really good at it. It's successful. And I can remember just looking at you and saying, why? You know, like, why do you have to keep going if it's not something that you want to do? And I think that this was a theme that I constantly saw in the early days, is that you, like so many people, were being the person you think you should be. But the moment I questioned that, you were like, what? Hang on a second. Someone's just opened this door and I am going to run screaming through it. And I think so much came from that. One of the things I love about you, Becky, is how you are so honest. And one of the things that you did start up after your big trip and then deciding to close the business down and move on to something new was that you started your blog. Can you tell me a little bit about the blog and what inspired it?
Yeah, the blog to me began as a bit of a lifeline. It was for a couple of reasons. It was because the reaction to my trip and the changes that I was making in my life had come as such a shock to so many people. And I received so many emails, like I said, from far and wide, like women making all kinds of comments along the lines of, then my husband would never let me do something like that. I would love to be able to take a trip, but I would never be able to leave the children, you know, or aren't you lucky? Aren't you lucky that your husband paid for you to do that trip and looked after your children for you so that you could do it? And I just felt that there was a whole catalogue of issues that were connected with the fact that I'd done this. And I don't think that I don't see it as really asking too much to be allowed 3 weeks.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I took 6 weeks, so I'm with you. I'm with you, sister.
Absolutely. But, you know, that certainly in the community that I'm part of, and, you know, that extends to an online community, I have to point out, it was, you know, the range of responses was really quite shocking, and it made me feel very sad, and like, you know, I needed to start opening conversations with other women, and not just women. Like, I know that there's plenty of men who feel, you know, who get to a certain point in life and feel like, God, you know, I've taken the wrong turning at some point, like, how did I get here and how can I turn back? And so, yeah, like, initially, it was for me because I find writing very cathartic, but it was a dual purpose. It was to be able to start the conversation, like raise awareness to the fact that, you know, it is okay to get to a certain point in your life and just and be able to say, hang on, like, hold the door. This is not what I was looking for. It doesn't feel right and I need to change something quickly. Yeah. You know, the society that we live in, which is constantly, it's fast paced, like, you know, there's no time to breathe most of the time, you know, it doesn't allow for that kind of time to pause and reflect and change direction very easily. And so I just thought that that was something very important and also something topical, like, you know, the world to change place. And I just thought, you know, it's an input that I've up until this point not come across. You hear, you know, a lot of talk about you know, gender issues kind of trickles down to the top, but, you know, real women comparing real life stories, we just don't do it. And even when we do, it's still slightly with a guard up, and because we're always so scared that someone's going to judge us, or that, you know, or frankly that we judge ourselves if we say too much and expose ourselves.
Exactly.
And so, no, I just thought, you know what, I can't continue. I can't carry on living this life where, you know, we talk in half-truths, or, yeah, you know, we only get so far and then we feel like we've got to back away. Like, yeah, you know, that to me is not meaningful and it's not fulfilling. And so I'm going to start at least sharing my stuff. And if people, yeah, read it, and, you know, I hope that they, you know, I hope that they're kind of asking themselves similar questions.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of people, it's going to be completely irrelevant. I'm sure there's, you know, just as many people who are delightfully, deliriously happy with their lives. But I can tell you for nothing that, you know, the responses that I've had, like I said, emails from perfect strangers on occasion, just saying, oh, thank God I'm not the only one.
Yeah, and I think that this is so, so important, Becky. This is the thing about, and we will put, I'll put your the link to your blog in the show notes for those listening, because one of the things that really struck me in the beginning was that even when I first met Becky ages ago, and then when she first came to see me, the one thing that strikes you straight away is she's very honest and direct. And I love, that's one of my favorite things in a human. But what I saw and what I learned over our journey together is that what I'd seen was such a small part of that. And what's happened over our journey together is that now you've really, you know, let those guards down. And this blog, I think, is incredible because, like, when Becky first started it, I'd sort of get messages from her like, oh God, have I been too vulnerable? And the beauty of this thing is that it's like, yes, you've been really, like, she calls a spade. And for anyone who lives a similar life to us, has kids, is married, lives in, you know, let's be honest, like a pretty nice life, that people don't talk about the truths, that was in inverted commas for those of you who can't see me, this blog talks truth. It's an absolute truth. And I think that it's such a testament to Becky's journey that being able to learn intrinsically how to listen to your internal guide and your design, then go out into the world and actually implement it and do it and do these big brave things like closing down a successful business, taking 3 weeks off to go into a country that you can't even speak the language, to then, you know, start a blog to put out in the world, already knowing that you live in an environment that there is potentially going to be judgment. To do all of these things and the courage that's come from this and doing growth in this way instead of the other way and the old way that you're doing it, I just see that every single part of you and every time you grow, and every challenge you face, it's like, oh, hang on a second, this is actually really magical. This is something that I can turn into such a profound benefit to me and to others. And your voice specifically, I believe, is so incredibly important for, you know, we don't really have classes here in Australia, but for the middle class woman who is like, honestly, I want to give the bird to half the people around me because this is my life and I want to take it back. And I think, Becky, you're a massive role model for that. I just love it.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to hear.
You're so, so welcome.
You know, the first blog, well, actually the first, second and third blog post that went out was terrifying. Like, you know, I by no means had any expectation that it would be well received. And actually we did have a very in-depth conversation before I even wrote anything about what can I say, like how far can I go, how, you know, I do remember very clearly you saying to me, empathy should not be reserved for those who society deems deserve it most. Empathy should be shared amongst everybody, and because, you know, you've got the house, the car, the husband, the kids, it doesn't mean that you're not deserving of empathy because life doesn't, you know, because life feels hard. And it's absolutely true. Like, up until that point, I just felt like a whinger. I felt like a whinging pom, you know, like there's this girl, I moved, living in the sunshine in one of the most glorious cities in the world, like how dare I complain about anything. And you know, to get, again, the green light to say, you know, those people that don't care, you know, that don't hear it or who don't feel sympathy for that don't matter. You're not speaking to those people. You're speaking to the people who also feel the way that you do. And there will be just as many of them as there are people who don't feel like that. And so, you know, with those words ringing in my ears, that was when I got to work on writing the blog. And I have to say that whenever I feel the need to write, it is like it runs on rails. It literally comes out of my fingers. Like it's like an internal monologue of all the things that have been spinning through my head for such a long time that they've finally gotten it out. You know, yeah, it's scary every time I hit publish. You know, I almost sit with holding my breath to see, you know, if anything negative might come from it. But do you know what? Like, if it does, that says so much more about the person who's being negative than it does about me. If I'm not doing it for any effort, you know, to try and harm anybody or to try and I'm not doing it as a cry for help even. Like, it very much is just a process that I feel is beneficial to me, not to myself obviously, but also to so many other people. And I think, you know, all of that is, the proof is in the pudding, and there have been, you know, the countless number of women who have reached out and, you know, and really connected with what I have to say. And it's about bloody time, in all honesty. It's about that we all start being a little bit, you know, just living more authentically. Like, you know, and I, for one, could not face another heartless conversation in the playground about what did you do at the weekend. I think I was listening to a podcast recently, I can't remember who it was, and they said, you know, the question that comes along, how are you, in as few words as possible. That just sums us up absolutely perfectly. Yeah. That is very much what real life for mums and, you know, women is. It's you know, we want to be seen to be caring and doing the right thing, but most of us don't have time, and, you know, not all of us care. And, you know, I don't want to be around that. Like, you know, I can't be around that. I've been around it for so long that I needed to disappear off on my own to Japan, you know? Yeah. So, you know, like, for anybody that feels like that, I just think, you know, please take away from this that there are options, you know, not always easy ones. I could definitely not afford that trip to Japan. My husband definitely could not afford the time off work to help with our children. My mother-in-law definitely was not prepared for a trip across the world to come and support with looking after our children so that I could do that. It wasn't easy for anybody, but I think everybody involved in that equation knew what the stakes were, and that there was so much more to lose by not banding together and making that happen. And so, you know, for everyone who's got an excuse as to why they're unable to do that, like, I just call BS. Like,
I call bullshit on it. Nice one.
If there's a need, and just go and do it, because it cannot, it can't make things worse.
Exactly. So just to finish up, what I would love is just to share from the person that you were before you came to see, before we started our journey together, to the person you are today, what are the probably the three things that you're surprised and delighted about that have changed?
I think nowadays I'm free. Really, I feel free. I don't feel confined to say or do or be anything that anybody else wants or expects me to be. That's all. You know what? Like, you asked for three. I feel like one is sufficient, because it is so all-encompassing. Like, to learn to like yourself. Like, you know, I've never liked myself before. I could find a million reasons to hate myself on any given day, and I now like myself. Like, I know I'm a good person. I know, you know, I'm a good friend, I'm loyal, I'm hardworking, I'm, you know, I've always got everyone's best interests at heart. I will try and carry everyone's load for them, you know. And before, I think I always saw that as trying too hard or being a bit needy or trying to, you know, prove to other people that I'm worthy of their time or affection. And now I'm like, you know what? No, it's none of those negative connotations. It's because that's who I bloody well am. And yeah, that makes a person. And if, you know, if anyone takes issue with that, I frankly don't give a shit. Like, you know, I'm happy with who I am, with where I'm going. And I see light at the end of the tunnel. And yeah, it's worth it.
That is so brilliant, Becky. I love that. I absolutely love that. And what a beautiful place to finish this podcast. So for everybody listening, we will make sure that we put Becky's blog in the show notes. And thanks so much, Becky, for joining me today on this podcast.
More than welcome. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Yay.
Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.